But like also fuck Chris Sharp. Can we talk about how I like
it's so unnecessary. Like I get that like the Liberty thing was shitty, but we don't know that he ever even found out about that.
Right.
And even if he did, like it doesn't warrant like it would still be mean if it was Liberty saying it, but I would be like, okay, she's earned that.
No, and like,
but it's not Liberty saying it, it's Chris Sharp, and I don't think that Emma traumatized him enough to have earned that.
Right. I don't think so either, and it feels like that's all it can be, is that you're salty because she didn't have, like, ill-advised ravine oil with you.
Hello and welcome to the 14th episode of season 4 of Your Mom's Podcast, the only podcast that's worth walking out on a date with one of Degrassi's coolest girls. I'm Caroline.
I'm Avis.
And today we're talking about Degrassi's season 4, episode 18, Modern Love, parentheses, Love Will Tear Us Apart. Roses are red. Bid farewell to Chris and Chester. Paige takes the fall for the greasy professor. I know that he's just a teacher and not a professor, but it rhymed. Okay, so don't at me. When Paige gets snippy with Manny, who has been picking up her slack while she sneaks around with Mr. Oleander, Manny hits her breaking point and loudly outs them in a crowded hallway. Matt once again shows he's a horrible boyfriend, even without the greasy predator factor, when he throws Paige under the bus, painting her as a stalker. Mm-hmm. Over in the B-plot, Chris Sharp pops his unnecessary head in to make a few gross and unnecessary comments about Emma. In order to cheer her up, Manny coordinates his girls' night with their super close buds, Darcy and Shantae. Sadly, girls' night is interrupted by unnecessary Chester and his equally unnecessary brothers.
The only real question I have for this B-plot is, where do Chester's brothers go to school?
Right? Lakers.
Because, like...
Bardell, Earl Grey.
Isn't it implied that they're, like, twins or triplets?
I don't think it's implied that they're triplets.
Just that there's three of them, whatever. If they're supposed to be older than him, they should still go to Degrassi.
Right.
Even older, younger, they are not young enough to not be in high school. They're not too old to not be in high school. Where do they go to school? Because we had this whole thing about Chester being the new kid in their grade. Mm. A couple episodes ago, and now Manny's pining over him again. Yeah. Am I the only one who's like, he's not cute, and he's also quite annoying.
No, Chester sucks. I hate Chester. And like, he's not just annoying, he's like, hold on, what did I... Chester reaching past Emma to steal Darcy's fries is the personification of everything wrong with men. Like, it's so... He's not just annoying. He feels entitled to their space, to their food, to their, like, peace.
Like, no. Yeah.
He's just... I don't like him. That is...
He's very...
I'm not saying that, like, Chester is predatory. I don't get predatory vibes. But Chester is definitely one of the men. Like, that behavior...
He's arrogant.
...is part of why we choose the bear.
Exactly. He's extremely arrogant, and he's just got like a strut about him that's like not earned. Like
I'd probably choose Chester over the bear because I think I could take Chester, especially if he's only like 14.
Mm-hmm.
But
he hasn't reached full power yet.
But that behavior,
yeah,
is just, and it's that like classic boys will be boys bullshit that I hate.
It bothers me that, like, and I really don't, I what I struggle sometimes to, like, remember is that these are teenage girls, and that teenage girls get really, like, nonsensical when they're around boys that they find attractive. I'm just like, I don't, that was never really my experience.
Right.
So I can't relate, you know, when they are like, oh my gosh, I need to go dress up for him, and then they the one of the Chesters like dumps the tie-dye bucket on them, I'm like, that would piss me off. I would not be like fighting to not to laugh and being like, Chester, this isn't funny.
I mean, I get like it is clothes. I mean, not so much for Darcy and Shantae. But Emma and Manny are dressed in clothes that they were prepared to get dirty because they were tie-dyeing.
Right.
But, like, yeah, no, it's just...
Maybe I'm uptight, guys. I've always been uptight, though.
No, I don't think it's that you're uptight. It's just, like... And I don't know. I probably would have acted equally, like, dumb and taken shit for a boy that I thought was cute at that age. I just don't think Chester's cute. And I didn't think Chester was cute when I was that age.
Yeah, no, I never thought Chester was cute. I always thought he was annoying. I didn't understand why they didn't just shoo him away like he was a nuisance.
Right.
Genuinely. It always bothered me that, like, they were just, and I mean, maybe because I've always been gay. But I'm like, why are you letting this boy intrude on your and it's like Emma feels that way, but she's not going hard enough. You know, like, you're not going hard enough in the paint. Like, he would leave you alone if you made it very clear that he needs to leave you the fuck alone. But you're being like, oh my God, what are you doing?
Okay, but you're having okay, picture this.
Mm-hmm.
It's 2003, 2004.
Mm-hmm.
You're having tie-dye night with your girls.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out that your friend's neighbor is Melissa McIntyre.
Okay.
And she's just as lovely as she is in person, except her behavior is identical to Chester's.
Okay. I'm
right.
Yeah, I'm
right. Okay.
Well, that has been Caroline putting the gay lenses on me.
It's right now. Okay, wait. It's right now. You're 30 years old. You and I are tie-dyeing. Kristen Stewart comes up and is like, throws tie-dye on you. You turn into a giggly 12-year-old girl,
Kristen,
don't you?
Stop. It's not funny. Yeah. All right. All right.
Yeah.
All right. They think that he's attractive.
Yeah. You're like, that's the missing piece. I get it now. I get it now.
I got it. I'm all caught up.
It's why are Darcy and Shantae here? First of all, if nothing else, Darcy's not going to be friends with the gonorrhea girl.
Oh my gosh. It's so true, though.
It's
the way
true.
That it's so true that it's just clear that they haven't decided who the fuck Darcy is yet.
Yeah, because I guess she's not at all Jesus-y yet.
She's got to have that period that, like, fucking Alex did, where they had her dressing like a suburban mom on the way to pick up her kids from soccer. Like, suburban, like, Long Island.
Like, Alex did?
Like, Alex, she went through that Long Island mom.
When?
Like, when they first introduced her, and she just wasn't dressed like she, like, then they settled on her Gwen Stefani style, but, like, she did not, she was giving completely different, like,
I
they had her
recall
hair.
This at all. I mean, she had bad hair.
She had terrible hair, and the way they dressed her was terrible. It was not how they dress her now. It was giving. It was leaning hard into the mom. And they had to decide, too, like, what they wanted Alex to be.
We don't meet Alex until Sean goes all gangsta.
But she's still in the back giving, like, greaser. Giving, like,
yeah, but
greaser.
That's not suburban mom.
I'm more, okay, Long Island mom. Like, think Long Island Philly mom. Have you seen Sixth Sense?
Yes.
Not Tia Leone.
Yeah, it is.
No, it's not Tia Leone.
No, it's the other one. It's the one that's in Hereditary.
Yeah.
What is her name?
I love her so much. Okay. Toni Collette. Thank you.
Yes.
Think Toni Collette in Sixth Sense. That is what Alex was giving.
I have to look that up because I haven't watched Sixth Sense in 100 years.
I just rewatched it. I watch it every year. Okay, but guys, if you're going to watch one horror movie, quote unquote, please watch Sixth Sense. It will make you weep. If you don't weep at the end, I'm sorry, you don't have a heart. It's a beautiful movie. Please watch it. That is my horror recommendation for the episode.
Okay, I can see what you're talking
about.
Right,
you see what I mean? Like the nails, the acrylic, like the hoop earrings that were too chunky. Okay. They just did not know that they wanted Alex to be the cool girl who's like, hey, best friend Amy, boom, bitch went deaf.
Down. I'll send you a copy.
Boom, Alex, super bitch. Like, I can't. They just, it like, Darcy is not the, like, judgmental, like,
oh man,
Christian,
you know what fight
yet.
I would pay to see? Alex versus Darcy.
No, that shit would get messy.
That would be, there's this season early in the challenge where this annoying Mormon girl, Julie, like, mm-hmm. has issue with this chick, Coral, who's a badass. Mm-hmm. And decides, she's like, I don't want to do this catty girl shit. Let's be like dudes and wrestle. And Coral's just
okay.
I don't wrestle. I beat bitches up.
Oh, shit. That sounds like you are out of your league.
And, like, that's the... Man, that ass whooping didn't happen. Which was fine, because, like, Coral would have gone... As Coral put it, if I fight her... She's leaving on a stretcher and I'm leaving in handcuffs. And, like, I'm glad that it didn't go down like that for my girl Coral. And it would have been so good to watch her beat that chick's ass.
So good. No.
Back when they would let fights happen on the challenge.
Oh, shit. The parts that I was watching in the beginning, I can't believe how messy they were with, like, letting the eliminated person go back into the house to, like, kick somebody's ass.
Dude, there's
or get their ass kicked.
There's this one fight with my favorite guy, CT, back mm-hmm. when he's in his, like, hothead Boston dude, like, violent phase, where mm-hmm. after this fight, I think it was, he got banned for a minute. Mm-mm-mm. But he gets into a fight with this guy, Adam, who is from his Real World season, who he doesn't fucking like. And they had been having, like, a onesie party, so everybody's wearing onesies. And CT is just, like, going after Adam to the point where, like, there are five dudes trying to hold CT back. It's all cast members. The security is not involved.
The security's like, we're not fucking touching this.
This is good TV.
Like,
one of the dudes is this dude, Big Easy, who is, like, big.
Mm-hmm.
He's tall and he is large, and, like, they cannot keep CT down. And then finally, like, production gets CT outside and he's, like, strutting around the parking lot. He's like, I'm gonna smash his head off and fucking eat it. God, the fights used to be so good.
The violence in the aughts.
I'm not big on fights, but Faux really likes UFC.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't like UFC, but I do like Twitter. And UFC dudes are all the time saying really fucked up shit on Twitter. So then I'll be like, hey, babe, can we watch like a fight where this guy gets his shit wrecked?
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, yeah, sure. And it's kind of fun. I kind of get the appeal.
I fuck with that.
I fuck with that. We're way off topic, but I would pay to watch Alex beat Darcy's ass.
No, I would pay, you know, money for front row seats because, I mean, the way that Darcy gets Snippy, like, she gets to the cattiness level eventually, but she's still, yeah, could wipe the floor with her ass. Would love that. Yeah, they want us to like Shantae and Darcy, like, accept that Shantae, Darcy, Manny, and Emma are like somehow now like girl group,
right? Even but, like, though they never hung out before and they're never really gonna hang out again,
right? There is no precedent for these people to have been hanging out. It's not like we've seen them in the background. It's not like right. We've seen Shantae before. We've seen Darcy before, but not together.
We know that Darcy and Shantae are part of the spirit squad, right? So mm-hmm. it makes sense that, like, Manny has rapport with them at the very least.
Yeah.
But then, other than when Darcy storms out of Dracula, we never see, like, Emma, Manny, and either of these girls together.
I curse you, Macbeth. Yeah. Dumb. I don't know what they were trying to accomplish with this dynamic.
They were trying to make us care about Darcy and Shantae, but then they decided that was not where to bring them in, is my guess.
It certainly was not where to bring them in. It doesn't make sense.
Well, and
it
we're just, really never going to care about Shantae because they're going to give her even less than they give Hazel.
They are going to give her even less than they give Hazel, which is nothing. So what's nothing plus, what's nothing minus nothing? Nothing.
Double nothing.
So yeah, I don't know. It's kind of a waste. They're very much just there. And Emma and I mean, did I miss something? Emma and Manny are like everything's fine. Is it because she got gonorrhea?
I think it's because she got gonorrhea. It's like how they weren't friends anymore and then Manny got pregnant and had an abortion. And if she had been some stranger, Emma would have been furious. But she's not. She's her friend.
She's like, Manny, it's her choice. What about her? Sorry, not like what she said, because I think we've established that I think what she said was some, it's like, almost there. But like, yeah. We already talked about that, and I'm not going back.
To give credit, like, she's very young. She's got, like, her own personal feelings about it because she was the product of a teen pregnancy.
Mm-hmm.
And could have easily been aborted, like, Erica's fetus or Heather's fetus, whichever twin got pregnant.
Erica's
fetus. And, like, she's got her feelings about it, but I think that seeing... especially for someone like Emma, like seeing somebody you love deal with this thing that you are against, such as abortion or being gay or whatever the thing might be, is your first step to like evolving your opinion on it.
Yeah.
And while it is a really stupid stance, I can only fault a teenager, even a fictional teenager, even Emma Nelson, so much for it.
No, it's not that I fault her. It's more so like it's really just how it has to be that someone so fucking judgmental is gonna turn around and do some shit that they no longer feel that they should be judged for. I'm not having real sex, so fuck you. Okay, but like you got real gonorrhea, bitch.
Right.
Like, so I don't know what that, like,
man, I wish that would make different, decent merch.
Like,
you got real gonorrhea, bitch,
but you got real gonorrhea, bitch. Like, I can't. Like, there's such a high horse that like, Emma loves to climb up on when she gets ready. And it's like, girl, no. You are making dumbass choices right alongside Manny. Okay? Y'all are in good company.
For all of her flaws, and to an extent, I would say that at this point in Manny's development, it is one of her flaws, is that Manny loves fiercely.
Mm-hmm. Like, she doesn't know when to cut the fucking cord.
She doesn't. And she's going to, you know,
ride it till the wheels fall off. And it's one of those things.
I'm sure I've shared this quote with you. I've maybe shared it on the show, but I got it from a Pretty Little Liars recap written by Jacob Clifton, who is amazing. And it's that this line literally changed my life. The thing that makes you awesome is the thing that makes you suck. Always.
Mm-hmm.
And what is great about Manny is that she loves so fiercely. And it's part of what makes her suck.
Right.
Right now. Like, she's got to figure it out. She's got to learn to set boundaries with herself on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I truly don't think that at this point in, I mean, not even think. We don't even have to think. We know. That it's just not something that she's going to get a handle on for a long time. I think that it frustrates me because it just opens her up to more assault is all.
Yeah.
It's like she kind of keeps coming back for more to someone who literally a couple episodes ago, she just had to ask, why are you trying to hurt me? You know, like she just very much had to like,
but like, did
have
you
that conversation?
Like, did you have like a bestie that you had like from elementary school through middle school into high school?
No.
Okay. So like, that's a whole ass dynamic.
Yeah. That, no. Like,
that like sometimes is really great. Like,
mm-hmm.
My friend Bess, I have known her since fifth grade, and I would die for her.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, it's great. But my former friend, who I won't name, from, like, third grade to 24,
mm-hmm.
It was toxic. But then there was also all this history and all these memories and all of this love. And, like,
yeah.
The longer you're friends with somebody, the more you're, like, willing to you know, it's like any relationship.
Right.
You learn to – you come to a point where you accept people's bullshit or, like, you keep coming back for it.
Which is, like, kind of the worst.
And it's
especially at this age when they don't have that concept of, like, trying to be – better versions of themselves yet.
Right. Well, and it's like, not to like show Emma grace, but like, okay, Manny does not deserve the way Emma treats her, but Emma needs the kind of friend that Manny is. Emma's got these like abandonment issues, and Emma's somebody who is gonna push and gonna be horrible sometimes because she needs to know that you're not gonna leave her no matter what.
Reassurance. And you'd think that someone like me who has abandonment issues would like Emma more. I never liked Emma.
I never liked Emma. Here's the thing, though.
I don't know, and, like, not even liked her, but I don't even know that I ever, like, I empathize with her more now than I ever did as a kid.
Mm-hmm. I think I liked her more as a kid than I do now. And I definitely, I mean, I think I empathize with her more now just because I'm an adult and I have a greater capacity for empathy.
Kids suck, a.k.a.
But, like, I don't know that it would, like, make it so that Emma is a character that I like, but I feel like I could be a lot more forgiving of Emma if not for the dating Peter.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, the dating Peter thing is going to be something that's another hurdle of Emma's character for me. There are a number of them that I just feel like she has to really work to come back from. And I don't feel like it's her whole, I mean, it happens in secret, but like her, like the way that she's so quick to like be so cruel to Manny, it feels like I think maybe anybody who's ever had a relationship with anyone has to think about like, what does this person really think of me? Like, because right. You can never really, truly, 100% know what someone thinks of you in their head unless they vocalize it. And even then, like, is this the truth? But, like, go ahead.
Well, no, that's exactly it, is that, like, I feel like somebody can say that because it's what they really think, or somebody can say that because they know it's what will hurt you. And that's what they're trying to do in that moment, because for whatever reason, that's what they're trying to do in that moment. Probably because they're hurting, and not that that makes that okay.
Right. No, it doesn't make it okay. But it, I mean, like, I can buy that that might not be how Emma feels, but that's what she's doing because she needs to lash out right now. Like, she needs someone to hurt. Because she's hurting, obviously, but I feel like I get that their relationship has this like ebb and flow of like, okay, I fuck up and then like we drift apart and then we come back together once I've realized that I fucked up and you've realized that I've, you know, like whatever, like that's kind of their pattern of friendship. Mm-hmm. Which I have no, like, it is what it is. It's toxic, but it is what it is.
But I hope that at some point after they've left the show, Manny realizes and is like, I'm good with this.
Right. I think that there has to be that point. If there is no growth on either, like, and like, not that Manny's like the one who needs to, but Manny was always the one who had the more like tender, like nurturing role of their friendship.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she's always the one trying to keep it afloat.
Well, and I feel like we don't see a lot of growth with Emma. And if anything, we see regression, you know? She drops out of college. She marries Spinner. Like,
mm-hmm. Yeah, no, she's got a long road of just, like, I don't even, like, she's got a long road. Like, this is the beginning of her journey of, like, not being the type A that she was in the past couple seasons and just doing things that aren't very Emma-like.
Mm-hmm.
Because it, like, there's going to be a lot of consistency in between these points, but, like, by and large, this marks the beginning of like the season, and like her actions after the shooting marks the beginning of her really kind of losing that type A.
Mm-hmm.
And like that I have to be perfect because this is what everybody sees. Because
but does she really? Because like, and it's like a different kind of I have to be perfect, but
like being able to do it
successfully. She has a big old eating disorder.
Right, but like that, right. Like, I think that caveat of like doing that successfully with no like it, you know, with no repercussions to her. Like, net, like the price of being perfect has now manifested in an eating disorder, you know? Like, she mm-hmm. is trying to control something because she feels like she has no control over anything else.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think, like, it's, like, the veneer, you know, it's coming off vibes. But, like, also, fuck Chris Sharp. Can we talk about how I, like...
It's so unnecessary, and, like...
We get it, dude. She didn't suck your dick, and you're upset.
Right. Like, I get that, like, the Liberty thing was shitty, but we don't know that he ever even found out about that.
Right.
And even if he did, like, it doesn't warrant, like it would still be mean if it was Liberty saying it, but I would be like, okay, she's earned that.
Yeah. No, and like,
but it's not Liberty saying it, it's Chris Sharp, and I don't think that Emma traumatized him enough to have earned that.
Right. I don't think so either, and it feels like that's all it can be, is that you're salty because she didn't have, like, ill-advised Ravine oral with you.
Post-shooting, Emma could have been with Sean, could have been with Chris, could have been with whoever else, and probably still would have gone down to the Ravine.
Correct. I agree with that, because it's not about the relationship she's in. It's about her.
And, like, I don't think that Jay would pursue her if Sean was there and dating Emma.
Probably not. But he's also a skis, so.
He's such a skis. But anyway,
maybe he wouldn't be laying it on that thick, but he'd be dropping hints like, if you want it, I got it. There was a song called "Wanted I Got It," dripping like what something. Yeah. Let me see. I feel like we've spent so much time on this B plot that I genuinely am disturbed by the A plot. So I feel like I just don't.
Oh, we should talk about the prank.
We can talk about the fact that Emma's back on her crusade of banishing all men because Chris sucks and she's deciding to put a bloodied, like a simulated bloodied tampon star
on top of a tree decorated like a Christmas tree, but with feminine hygiene products, which is kind of like it's a badass kind of 15 girl power. It's totally,
and like, can I can share an anecdote that my dad, yes, my lovely dad, used to be very, like, a grown-ass man used to be affronted by the fact that they would play commercials for period products, like, in prime time. He'd be concerned. He's like, but, like, why do you need to, we don't need to, like, talk about that stuff. You know we bleed, right? Like, he's like, yeah, but we don't need to see commercials at 7
no
o'clock
in
the
evening. No offense to your mom, and it was so a different time, but that
is such
a red flag.
Oh, totally. It is totally a red flag.
And I get that it was a different time, and like it's toxic. A disservice to all of us and has been for decades now that, like, sex ed, like, girls get the period talk and boys don't.
In separate rooms, yeah. It's not something he had all girls, so it's not something that he, except for my brother, that I think that he perpetuated, because now he has all granddaughters basically. He's definitely shaken it off. He's definitely realized, yeah, you can't, that's an antiquated way of thinking. But trust me, it was a like the taboo nature of period products, like how you didn't want to hear somebody, you didn't want somebody to hear you taking it out of the wrapper, even though we're all women in there, or, you know, like.
I had this, like, roommate. Oh, yeah, no, I remember, like, they like had feeling the products. Need to be so discreet about tampons, but, like.
They have those no sound, like, product period packaging so that you don't hear it when you take it out of the pack.
I'm not taking it out of the pack until I'm in the women's room, and I really don't care if anybody in the women's room knows that I'm menstruating. I definitely cared if boys knew when I was a teenager, but, like,
yeah, I would like put it up my sleeve, mm-hmm. the tampon, mm-hmm. or I would like
you, like,
put the
palm
the
it and then you slide it up your sleeve,
slide
yep.
it up your sleeve, or you like I pinned the pad in like the inside of my hoodie pocket, like. You know, because goodness forbid I'm wearing jeans or something and not a hoodie. Like, then I got to put it in something and take, like, a book to the bathroom or something. Because I'm not just going to carry a pad. Put it under my shirt, maybe.
Otherwise, yeah. You got to go stop at the nurse's office and get one of those, like, super,
like,
thick pads.
Those stacked big-ass bitches left over from the 80s. It's like, but no, but, like, I swear every school
ever. You guys
just,
like, here's a garter.
Here's a garter belt, honey. Yeah, no, there you go. Just strap you in, belt you up. I literally feel like they just bought, like, the stock of these like, the maxi pads before they went out of business. Like, just buy all of them up, because those are, like, the OG, like, when they first started making disposable pads that were not belted, those were the ones they sold. That they give you at the nurse's office.
Did you ever buy them out of a machine in a bathroom?
Yes. The ones in the, yes, they're the little box. And then it's the like tampons too. The
way closed. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. The worst. I remember
my movie theater had like in the bathroom had like a one of those like coin dispenser things, and you could buy like tampons, pads, lip balm, and condoms.
Yes, wait. Yes, yes. No, you push the button and you, yes.
Yeah,
you
get, and the lip balm was like, I feel like it was like little. It was like a little, like, little chode looking thing. It was like a little chode of lip balm.
Oh my gosh. No, the convenience.
But I feel like the Hosoda brothers are 100% boys who are grossed out by period products.
Oh, I will take that action, because yes, I think that there is a definite possibility that had Emma been successful in crowning that tree with that period with that star piece, that they would have woken up and vomited.
Yeah.
Like full vomit, well, in the light of day, like tinged red and everything, like right in their viewpoint, like that's the first thing they see when they open their eyes, they look out their window, right, expect to see a tree, but nope, it's just a stained tampons arranged in a circle, or arranged in a star, you know.
And then I guess, like, I feel like we should talk about the end of the B-plot, too, where, like, Chester comes over and is like...
Fuck the end of this B-plot. So dumb.
He's like, my brothers are planning a counterattack. Consider me your spy. Like, because now all of a sudden I'm, like, not trying to be the most obnoxious guy in the world. And then
I'm the lesser of three evils.
Spoiler alert. Somebody falls into the black hole and we never see him again.
There is no payoff of this. There is no partnership.
There is no nothing.
There is no nothing.
The end of season 4 of Degrassi is a bit messy.
Yeah. It's kind of like they want, why are they bringing in new characters? Basically, not even new characters, but like, why are they trying to mix them up in a way that makes no sense that they're going to completely abandon? Because we only
have 1 year left with Paige's class, which means we need new characters, and we don't want to just throw them into plot lines after like never having seen them before, so we want to start integrating them into the main cast.
Yeah, spoiler alert, in the future Degrassi does not do this. You just chuck them bitches in there like, here's the new batch of Niners.
I'm Eli. I drive a hearse.
You've got pretty eyes. Yeah. Very much trying to be organic. See right through it. Don't like it. But yeah, it's giving, oh, this is going to be a payoff of some kind. And Chester's going to come back. And
no,
maybe him and Emma will something. No.
Be friends. Emma could use a friend. She still doesn't really have any friends.
She doesn't have any friends because Manny keeps bringing around people that don't matter and making them have failed spa days. And because, like,
where is Liberty? I guess she's just off dating JT.
She's off dating, and she's not invited in the hot tub. She's just not invited to these festivities. Spike is waiting on them hand and foot. I meant to bring that up. Spike is like tending to them with their mocktails. Spike is
such
and
a cute mom.
And she's bringing Manny ice because she just got her ass beat.
And I assume some ointment too, because she's like, put this right on your scratches.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
And how did Manny get those scratches?
We want to talk about
over
it?
To the A-plot?
Oh, no. This is so bad.
This A-plot is so... Okay.
First of all, right out the
gate, I need to talk about the fact that Paige tells Mr. Pedophile that she's not paying attention in class because she was fixated on his earlobes.
His earlobes. She's his down bad. Earlobes. Girl, you got it bad.
When you're on the phone, hang up and call right back. Okay, we have to stop.
Something's wrong with her. She is just like, the fact that my only question in this conversation is like, how is he a good teacher? Like, she's like, he's the only reason that I'm, like, remotely paying attention is because you're, whatever, it's because you're a good teacher. Like, you think he's a good teacher because you want to suck his face off.
I don't know. I mean, what he's teaching at least, like, seems interesting. And I feel like it is a disservice to our country that, like, we don't have those classes because now everybody has, like, no fucking media literacy and it's really bad.
That's fair.
But, like, who knows how much that's... I mean, I guess part of his, like, assignments of student teaching is, like, making up lesson plans. It does seem like an interesting course from, like, what we see when, like, Emma's doing it and getting made fun of by Chris Sharp.
Yeah, I like that part of the lesson. I mean, it's not that...
He doesn't seem like a bad teacher other than the dating a student thing. And also, I would really like if he washed his hair.
I know. He's got this, like, I feel like the way they characterize him is so frustrating because he definitely has this woe is me, derpy derp, like nothing.
Sheepish, like.
Yeah, nothing that ever happens to me is my fault. I am merely a player in these series of events. And it's like, bitch, you know that you're, like, making out with a student. And in, like, a very, like, brazen way because you're not even going any, like, you're in this a city park where clearly anybody could walk with their fucking baby stroller and see you.
Right.
Like, you guys have learned nothing from the Metroplex, and it shows. It feels like, I don't know, he's supposed to be like, oh, nothing, what we're doing isn't that wrong, so why would I hide? But it's like, also, I told you that nothing can happen and you can't tell any of your friends. Like, it's very weird.
Yeah.
How they have them be so careless. But then as soon as there is any hint of, like, what they're doing getting out into school, I can't get kicked out of teacher's college. I can't. Can we talk about how teacher's college sounds so fake?
Yes. 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 Yes.
It sounds super fake.
Like is I that can't a get thing? Because I feel like don't colleges just have, like, education programs?
Right. Just like a school, it's not of law education.
School. It's not med school, bruh.
Right. Yeah. Like a school of education. Like, teachers college.
Maybe they do it different in Canada.
Teachers college. I'm going to teachers college today.
Before we get too far into things, I want to talk about something that happens in the opening scene because it really didn't sit well with me. Is like, mm-hmm. when Paige makes the joke about Heather Sinclair's granny panties and he's like laughing at it. And yeah. Like, I know he's already creepy. He's dating his student he's creepy. He's creepy, creepy, creepy.
Yeah.
But there's something about a teacher, like, joining in and making fun of a student
with another student
that does not fucking sit right with me.
Especially that joke. Like, I don't know. I don't
Especially, like, we're joking about a teenage girl's panties, which, I mean, obviously, you are into teenage girl panties. That's been established.
Yuck.
But, yeah. Like...
Yeah, it feels to me like they are just trying to make them peers. They're just trying to make it like,
I don't,
this is
like
a funny conversation between two equals about someone they both know. I'm not buying what you're selling, okay? I don't like
it. I'm not buying what they're selling either, but I also, there's so much in this episode pisses me off. When, and I know it's way later, but Paige being like to Dylan, like, he's practically the same age as you. I don't think he is.
He's not.
Dylan is a college freshman. Like,
he
do
cannot,
you even have a major?
He does not have a fucking major declared. He is not special. Like, he is not in a school of and, you know, he's not in a particular school yet, and he's not been accepted into a program yet. Like, they're just in two different and I know that, you know,
like,
maybe...
I feel like Matt Oleander is probably like a junior
college. At least
Right? Like
minimum a junior, because there's no way you're in a program like that that's going to have you in the classroom with enough competency.
They have you without studying for at least 2 years. Like, yeah,
right.
No.
You're studying for at least 2 years before you're going into a setting like, and not even just like, oh, you're there to shadow. Like, you're actively teaching and leading a class.
Mm-hmm.
Like multiple classes.
So it's safe to assume that he's at least 21. And here's the thing, is 21 not that far from 19? Yes.
But 21
is far from 17.
Yeah, you have to think about how drastically your life changes from the time that you're 17 and a junior in high school to the time you're 21 and a junior in college. How fast your life changes. If you go the route that, you know, what quote unquote traditional route, where you go from living in your parents' house to living in a dorm room in college, you mm-hmm. are completely changing who you have to answer to and like managing yourself, and like your life is in flux from year to year. You're getting more responsibilities. You might have a job. In addition to, like, first of all, talk to Paige about her first year of Banting and how much of a fucking adjustment that was. Like, right. Just going from high school work to college level work is a fucking adjustment. I don't know. I don't really understand how the narrative wants us to think that they're so closely matched and, like, on level playing field when literally he's teaching her class.
Right. Right. No, it's
like, I don't know how.
And it makes me mad that Marco or that Dylan like bowls over to that so quickly. But I guess it's probably because Dylan does know that his relationship with Marco is kind of predatory.
It's kind of weird.
But it's also, it is also not the same thing.
But we did talk about how it's not the same thing. It's not. They were once equals and
they were never equals, but that was more about their personalities and like.
Right. They were never equals in their experience and stuff. But like they were equals in the fact that they were both peers in the same school. And that was a natural, you know, way for them to meet. I just think that it's like, I think that a lot of the way that she uses their relationship to justify her tryst with Matt is just so gross. They do it on both ends.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, well, you're how many years older than my brother? He's dating Marco. And then she turns around a couple episodes later and is like, are you a predator for dating Marco? Are you preying on him? And it's like, maybe, bitch. Possibly.
Bitch, I might be.
Bitch, I might be. Like, that's why he's backing off, because he's like, I don't know. Let me think about that. Let me have a little thinky poo about it and I'll get back to you.
Okay. So I don't really think it needs to be established any further. I mean, we can. I can sit and talk about how much I hate Matt Oleander until the cows come home. But like, however, that's established. But like, I have to say,
right, you're establishing
like
a new
beef. There are
other
things that happen.
Other things that like I am not okay with, and I know you have your beef with Hetzelakos.
Mm-hmm.
I am not okay with how everyone reacts to this situation.
Everyone but Snake, yeah.
Everyone but Snake, and I mean, even to an extent, I know Snake doesn't know quite what he saw, but he knows he saw them.
I feel like I understand, though, even though Snake is super far away from the Darcy incident,
mm-hmm.
just as a person, like, Snake knows that that's a heavy allegation to make.
Of course. But
he could have talked to Oleander, or he could have talked to Paige.
Yes. That's but like just that, not saying or doing anything, not to defend Hatzilakos, because fuck.
No, Hatzilakos can.
But for him to
suck my dick.
Be like, I know what I or something that I like. He didn't say anything to anybody. Mm-mm. He just saw what he saw and took his pasty white legs home.
Right. And it wasn't like that was the first thing he'd seen.
Correct. He's and seen them, you know, in and weird, compromising, like flirtatious embraces.
But I do think maybe it's possible that, like, because he only got glimpses and because he, I don't know, for one, because Snake's not the kind of guy who would ever do that.
His mind is not in the fucking
His
gutter.
Mind is not there. And so it might have been that before those accusations were made, he just didn't piece it together. But yeah, no. Fuck Hatzilakos. Fuck Alex. Fuck Marco. Fuck Hazel let me down.
Hazel did too, right? Like, just crawl. And it's like they all are acting like Paige is right in the way that she feels, and not like, okay, Paige is being groomed and like brainwashed by this guy.
You know what, though? I do also...
Twist the time.
I get it. No, it's not even that it's the time. It's that, like, yes, I would love for one of Paige's friends to be a voice of reason, but they are all also teenagers. They are all also idiots. And, like...
Yeah.
Like, I had a friend... When I was, I would have been like 17. She was 15 and turned 16 during the course of the relationship, and in a relationship with a 29-year-old man. And we all knew.
Yeah.
And I mean, I eventually told my mom, but that took a hot minute for me to get there.
No, and I mean, that's kind of how I've had those experiences, too. I've had friends that have been, like, dating, even talking to grown-ass men. But I think it's just different now. I really, and even just being around the kids that I've been around for my job, but the kids that I've been around in the wild for, like, you know, my friends' kids who are old enough to, like, have those kind of relationships or whatever and be like, yeah, I'm not fucking around with anybody who is like, you know, say they're a freshman. I had one of my friend's kids was a freshman like last year, and she's a cheerleader, and they had an issue with like somebody asking her to prom or something. And like, they're like, oh, well, how old is the boy? And one of the dads was like, okay, well, if he's old enough to be asking her to prom, he's too damn old for her. And she's like, I think it was either the dad or mom was like, well, she said no anyway. Like, she said, she doesn't even want to go.
Yeah.
Because like, what am I going to do at prom? Like, I don't have it. None of my friends are there. I don't want to go with you. Like, you're too old.
Right.
And like, more power to the kids who like recognize that the years are so much like larger when you're a kid.
I think I told you like way back in like season one about like going out to breakfast one day and overhearing a group of high school boys who were like, I think they were seniors, they might have been juniors, and one of them was talking about the fact that he was talking to a freshman, and all of his friends were immediately like, no, dude, that's grimy.
That's
14.
Gross. Yeah. No, seriously. Like, that's some weird shit.
But and like, but we didn't back then.
No, we didn't. And it was like a normal thing to have someone in high school possibly talking to somebody in their mid to late 20s.
Mm-hmm.
Like, especially if it's like, oh, I know their family or I know this person. Those kind of situations stress me out more than anything. It's like the family is okay with it because they know each other. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, this person is it like, they never even crossed paths because they were too old. Like, this person was too old to go to high school with this other person. Like, they are more than four years older than each other.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and one person is still in high school. Like, that's gross. It's like, oh, no, it's fine. It's because they're family friends. They grew up around each other. It's okay. I don't.
No, I mean, even the guy who got me pregnant when I was 18 was 24.
Ugh.
And, like, I didn't think that was weird at the time. And, like, my mom knew how – like, I remember talking to my mom one time about, like – because I was lucky enough not to be, like, sexually assaulted as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think that part of that – I mean, part of – a big part of that is just luck. But I do think, too, that part of that was just, like, the way that my mom raised me.
Yeah.
And I remember talking to her at one point and being, like, thank you for, like – the fact that this didn't happen to me. Like, I know it's not all you, but thank you. And she was like, but I did let it happen to you. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And she was like, guy. And I'm like, I was 18. I was an adult. She was like, no, that was still.
Yeah, that wasn't that okay. Wasn't
you were
okay.
Still a baby.
Yeah.
And yeah, I don't know.
No,
but I get very much so. None of my friends were like, oh, that's weird.
Yeah.
And so no, I get it. But just, I'm also like, just... why is nobody?
Yeah.
There was a point where I thought Alex was going to step up and be there. And then like, nope.
Nope. Alex did no,
everybody,
fuck all.
Everybody
she cleaned
is
that
a fucking letdown
machine.
In it.
Alex cleaned that cheese machine better than she looked out for Paige. Yeah. She might as well have called her a coward and a suck. That would have been better.
Right.
Like, keep that same energy, Alex. Yeah. No, this, it's like, it feels like this B plot or this A plot is more of the same of the B plot we got. And I dare say it. Give me Queen of Hearts. Give me back that episode where this bullshit is relegated to the B plot. Because mm-hmm. I would rather have Ellie and her alcoholic in rehab mother right? than this bullshit. I'm over it. And we're still not done suffering.
We're still not done suffering.
Have we not paid our fucking dues? Apparently not.
But we've jumped around some in case people aren't like don't watch Degrassi and just listen to our show for some reason. Let us know. Welcome. What's that like?
Must be weird.
But like we gotta talk about the fight. And before that, we've gotta talk about like there are signs like Hazel being like Hazel's so fucking brutal in that moment when she's like, gee, Mr. Oleander, I thought you had eyes for Paige.
I love Hazel. I wish they gave her more things to do instead of this.
I wish they gave her so many more things to do.
So many more things to do. But yeah, no, she gets to have a little bit of fun. Even though I know she says she's sorry, like right after that, I'm sure that felt so good.
I know you're like super overwhelmed with life, but can you please write some Hazel fan fiction? Like, can you just quit your main job and write Hazel fan fiction?
Guys, can you fund my lifestyle so I can just sit around and write Hazel fan fiction? Because the way that I would do that so fucking hard all the time. I would love to write, like, writing Hazel fan fiction would probably give me peace, though, because I would make absolutely nothing happen to her.
Right.
Except all the good things that she deserves. But yeah, I love how hard in the paint that she goes because she's like, fuck you, Manny. Why do you know more things than I do about my best friend? And also, fuck you, Paige. And whatever fucking shit is happening here. And it's beautiful. And it blows their entire fucking spot up.
Yep, because then and then she has that very public fight with Manny. That, like, I kind of, when we get to shots fired, do you want to kind of just back and forth that? You can be whichever girl you want to be.
Sure.
But they both say some really mean things. And then Manny, like, kicks. And I love Manny. And they set it up in the beginning of the episode. Not the first scene, but, like, the Spirit Squad scene. Manny's like, I skipped washing my hair to be here early for this practice.
Like, why are you washing your hair in the middle of the day? Not even
no,
the,
it was
the
a
late
before
afternoon.
School practice.
Oh, was it before school? Okay.
Yeah, it was a before school practice.
It looks so brightly lit. I just need lighting to indicate what's
happening.
Well,
it's not necessarily winter.
That's
it would be towards the end of the year. So I think it's bright in the morning.
Ah, good. But that was one of my notes was like, why the fuck is Manny washing her hair at this weird ass time? No, that makes sense. Okay.
But also, so Manny's hair is all like big and like slightly disheveled. And like,
yes.
I really love it though. Like, it harkens back to season like it one does. Manny She's in this way that's really cute. Season
one Manny, she is. She's got the puffy little hair going.
Like,
with the clips in the front.
Yeah. All like young and full of hope and dreams and being someone's Cinderella.
Mm-hmm.
And then she kicks Paige in the ass mm-hmm. as Paige is walking away from her. And it's very iconic. And then they have this whole fight. And it's a good fight.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not like throwing punches, but they're like...
It's way more intense. It's
very classic cat fight, but like so intense.
Yeah, it's rather intense. I enjoy it. Because it feels like... The scratches or whatever that Spike is tending to, they actually feel like they could have happened. You know, like I don't really buy like the busted lip that Emma has after the fight
with Alex. Yeah.
I'm like, how did you bust your fucking lip? Like, you guys thrashed each other around. That's it. But like, this actually looks like they beat each other's ass. And I respect that. I love that. Was there fight coordination? I don't know.
Yes. There Probably. Always is. There always is.
Well, I don't know if there was the first time because it was so fucking bad.
I mean, that just means there was bad fight coordination. Mm-hmm. But that shit's choreographed and blocked and what have you.
I know the block.
And then one of my favorite Degrassi moments happens. Mm-hmm. Where Mr. Oleander is one of the teachers breaking up the fight. Who's the other teacher? Is it Coach Armstrong?
It is not Coach Armstrong.
Who's holding Paige back? Is it
It's like a white woman. It's a white person.
Okay. I'm glad that there's someone else to break up some of the fights. Poor Coach Armstrong. Yeah,
Coach Armstrong was eating his star player.
He's eating busy. A
late ass lunch because he's busy running the fucking school. Because
he's a single mom classes. Who works two jobs.
Mm-hmm.
He
loves his kids and never stops.
With gentle hands and the heart of a fighter, he's a survivor.
This is what happens when we record
late. And, yeah, guys, it's been we're in a season of transition, and I'm sorry, but hopefully you're still here. I don't know. We all, like, this is what they come for.
Most seasons were fucking of transition, though. So I guess just hang around with us, and I still feel like, Loopy, we cover the episode well. So, like, let us know if you don't agree with that. Like, fuck you. Fuck you.
But... So the most iconic moment where Mr. Oleander is holding Manny back and she's looking like she still wants to fight.
Mm-hmm.
She says this because she can't put her hands on Paige in this moment.
Mm-hmm.
And she's just like, hey, Mr. Pedophile, I mean, Oleander, mm-hmm. don't make your girlfriend Paige even more jealous of me. And it's beautiful. And then Hatzilakos is there and she is pissed. She's like, Manny, you come to my office on Monday. Paige and Mr. Pedophile, you come to my office right the fuck now.
Yeah.
And then Oleander's in there and Paige is sitting there with Marco. And he's like comforting her and supporting her. He's like, you're in love.
Barf.
Fuck you, gag Marco.
Me. Gag me.
And then Hazel comes over and is again just amazing when she says, hi, I'm Hazel, just who you want to see.
Mm-hmm.
I love Hazel. She's perfect. She's great.
Yeah.
But then also she's supportive of this and is like apologizing and like whatever. Like
apologizing for blowing up a spot. It's hard to watch the ending because I feel like they're all so culpable in the encouragement and like the atmosphere that allowed this to happen. I'm just so upset that no one see. Even Hot Sulacos, for like all of the good that she has done since she's taken over principal, cannot see past the fact that like Paige is being manipulated.
Mm-hmm.
And that there's an imbalance of power, and that Paige is a fucking that, like, child.
Right out the gate, she has taken Oleander at his
word. She's taking him at his
and
word.
And is mad at Paige.
And has not treated him like the predator that he is. He came into your school and treated it like a dating ground. And you think that you can trust anything that he says at face value. He's mm-hmm. clearly only, you have to ask.
Who has something to gain from lying about this?
Who has something to gain from lying about this? What is going to happen if Paige tells the truth?
Dude, if I were Mrs. Michael Chuck, I'd have been fucking calling my lawyer.
Right.
I'd have been, like, Paige didn't end up getting any consequences because Oleander came clean.
Right, but, it was almost some bullshit.
Paige had ended up changing schools or whatever. Mm-hmm.
And lost her year and had to, yeah. It would have, like, I just don't think that there was any critical thinking. There couldn't have been, because, like, if you think about it for less than 5 minutes about, like, why he would manufacture a situation where he had no culpability.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's because he doesn't want to get kicked out of his program at the teacher's college. Got it.
Right. Like,
so I'm going to go to Paige and see what really happened and offer her services, because she might not even realize that she was victimized, because maybe Paige also has a pattern where she doesn't realize that she's been victimized.
Right.
This might have been a thing that happened to her before. Like, I don't know.
And
Hatzilakos doesn't fucking know that.
And,
but like,
and I feel like, let's say for a minute, for the sake of the argument, that Oleander is telling the truth. Paige Michael Chuck is like a creepy stalker student who is stalking him.
Mm-hmm.
He should have reported that way sooner.
ASAP Rocky.
The second that happened. And two, she's a child. And like, yes, we need to talk about the fact that stalking behavior is not okay. But why are you coming in so angrily about it?
Right.
Instead of being like, okay, what's going on that you're stalking your teacher?
Yeah. There's no dialogue. It's just like, what is your account? Oh, that's crazy. He's saying some completely different shit. How do you explain that? Like, it sounds like she has already... The fact that she had him in first,
mm-hmm.
before talking to Paige.
Yeah. Yeah, that's...
Like, Paige is your student. And for all intents and purposes, he is a visitor at your school.
Right.
This is Paige's school. She has been a student of yours since she was in eighth grade. Well, mm-hmm. yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I don't get why you question whatever, or, you know, why you have a conversation with this guest and get his version of the story before you talk to your student.
And make sure that she's okay. And decide that it's fact.
Just decide that it's fact, and it's like, okay, this is the account and he's the adult, so I'm going. It's giving the credence to that whole, okay, I'm big and you're little. You're, you know, what is that for Matilda? I'm big, you're little. I'm smart, you're dumb. And, you know, whatever I say goes, like.
Yeah.
What the fuck? Like, she fit. I obviously Snake is right when he's like, you know, whose side are we on, Daphne? And it's like, how can I make a decision if I don't know what you saw? Like, okay, you should be able to make a decision with all of the two
but
accounts
you
that you've
make
been
a
given.
Decision because Mr. Oleander said, oh, she was talking to me.
Right.
Like, if nothing else, he is guilty of like not handling, like, he's
not
still handled
following
that
protocol.
Situation poorly for an adult and didn't follow protocol and like.
Yeah. Opened you up to liability.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because, like you said, Paige's mom could really turn around and like sue the shit off of that, like sue the pants off the school.
And fuck.
I know they're not as sue happy in Canada, but still.
And fuck that advisor. Fuck yeah. That advisor.
Fuck that advisor. Sometimes we have feelings for our teachers.
Like even after you took yours too far. I saw shit. She's like, right.
She's trying to defuse the situation so that once
her
again,
program doesn't look
her
bad.
Her program is not put in a bad light. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's all about the bottom line, which is money and enrollment and like saving face. It doesn't matter what really happened because yeah.
And like, and we don't, so like eventually Snake is like, no, this is bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
And calls out Hatzilakos. He's like, whose side are we on, Daphne? And here's the thing about Hatzilakos is like, beyond this, all of her big transgressions are centered around Peter.
Mm-hmm.
And while it's not okay that she like lets it slide, that he distributes pornographic material of Manny and plants drugs in Sean's locker and fucking connects Darcy with an internet predator. Like, yeah. All of that is fucked up. And I get that she has a blind spot where her kid is. Like, I can have empathy for that. Even if I still don't think it's acceptable, like I can understand that. I can have empathy for that. What I don't have empathy for is her not protecting her student here.
Right.
And not just not protecting her student, but being so fucking quick to like blame her student.
Right. Like, why are you so quick to like discount Paige before you've even heard what she has to say?
And then you don't even, like, that we get to see, apologize.
Right. We don't see that. And spoiler alert, we won't.
No.
It happened off screen. Hopefully, presumably, probably not.
I guess we should add Hatzilakos to the Fuck Them Kids series.
No, we totally should because she's established that she truly does not give
does
a, fuck,
give
about
a
these,
fuck about these
unless
kids.
You're Peter, I guess.
Right, and even then she'll abandon you to go live in Regina.
Right. I don't have any sort of, like, understanding from where she's coming from. As someone who has been in a position of influence over kids, in a position of responsibility over kids, I truly don't understand how you believe and like have a conversation with someone who is the adult before the child. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah, in that situation,
in that
absolutely.
Situation, you need to get the person who was victimized account. And I really do think that she, like, that's what you should walk into that situation, you know, operating under the assumption of until you're proven otherwise, because you have been given ample like encouragement that this could be that situation, not from her, from other students, which indicates that there's a level of like mind play going on. Like, I don't know why she doesn't see that Paige is being manipulated, that he is a young charismatic guy and he's clearly using that to manipulate her.
Right.
Like, she is talking about this man's ear lobes, as you pointed out. His ear lobes. They have made out.
On school property.
On school property. Like, they are very lucky it's the time before there were fucking cameras everywhere. Because this was still, oh, we're not going to put cameras in the schools. That's crazy.
I know. I love how long it takes for Degrassi to get cameras.
They are really like born free as the wind blows for like so many seasons.
As free as the grass grows.
They're like, there's a new, like, now we can see your bitches. That's like a really famous song, Caroline.
It's like a really old song.
I know a lot of songs.
That's fair. I used to watch that movie all the time. And that was, of course, the song from the movie.
Yes, I did not watch the movie. I feel
it was
like
about a couple of white people who had a lion.
Good thing I skipped that, because that sounds dumb as fuck.
I think it was based on a true story.
That sounds like some white people shit.
Have you seen that guy on TikTok who will be like, a white woman will break into a drug or hop a drug dealer's fence to save the massive pit bull?
Mm-hmm.
It's
yes,
true.
It is. When I'd say that is the highest of caucasity and I'm not going there, it's fine.
I feel like if Snake sees Matt on the street,
it's on sight.
Yeah. Yeah, mm-hmm. I do.
You're not going to play with Snake's babies. He going to beat your ass. Yeah, no, he feels protective over all these kids, but obviously he has a special connection with our core group of kids. And like, I really do think it lends to that whole like, oh, Paige, get in the classroom thing when he sees them talking. Like, he's had a bad vibe about this for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he is just not feeling it. But I get, like, I agree with what you're saying. Like, he does not want to accuse or add any. Like, he is not going to do that without some feeling of proof. And obviously, not even proof, but feeling that this could be where it actually is headed or what actually is going on. But I just think that it's such a... I want to see that fight. That's one fight I really want to see. But,
oh my God, that fight would be amazing.
Yes. Let me check my notes, because I feel like... the fact that Paige saying Manny was really mean, how she says it. Like, she was really,
really
mean. Like, she says it like... And I don't know if the writers ever realized that it made me feel like she was such a kid in that moment, but like usually she does a really good job at acting older, but there was just such the little girl in her, like, but she was really mean. And I, it was very, it's very adolescent. And I've always felt that way. Even when I was younger watching it, I'm like, damn, she's kind of cracking, you know, like she's like, the adult facade is cracking.
Because she's a child.
Because she's a fucking child. Yeah.
She's not.
New year, new look, new page was only a couple of years ago.
She's not ready for this relationship.
Who knows what she looked before. Right. No, she's not, because this is an adult man who literally had a girlfriend that looked like a supermodel. What you order, if you order Christie Berkeley from Wish, you're going to get her. wait, I said Berkeley, Christie Brinkley. If you order Christie Brinkley from Wish, you're going to get her. But yeah, no, I don't. We still have so much more of this relationship that I can't spend any more time talking.
Yeah,
about
no, that. I'm good to go up to segments if you're good to go to segments. Fashion Corner, I feel like, has been really fucking weak this season.
It has been. Okay, so my one was Shantae's shirt. I think that it was more the coloring together. It was like a burgundy and I think like a yellow.
Mm-hmm.
Situation. It's not a good top. Like, fuck that top. It's like the little tie scrunch arm and like scoop neck vibes with a brown horizontal. No, is that vertical? I always get those confused. Vertical. Yes, it's vertical,
but like at a slant.
Slanted vertical vibe. It's just not cute. And I think it's just like offensive to my eyes because it just...
It's giving like Linda from HR on Casual Friday.
Yeah. I mean, Darcy's outfit is not, it's more like what a person in high school would be wearing. But yeah, I don't like it. So
yeah. So I, just because I was trying for Fashion Corner, I have Emma's outfit in Oleander's class, where she's just, it's like a light blue tank top over a white tank top. There's some kind of like, looks like a sun, maybe like an ocean thing going on the tank top, but she's sitting down. And then like just like a light colored mini skirt. It's just very of the time. It's very clean and like simple. And I like that part of that genre, that decade style.
Yeah.
And then my other one is Manny when she ties her shirt up and is like, throw the football at me.
Yeah.
And she looks real cute.
My last one is another one that is of the time that I don't think this is a good way. It's Paige walking up to Matt Oleander in like that tunic. It's like the pink tunic and it's got a bunch of like embellishments. It's like some of them are braided, some of them are like, I don't know, like Pirate of Penzance. It's got a lot of fabric hanging, and it just, she just, and she's got those like wide leg jeans, and it like they're some kind of possible flat, if not like heel. I don't think she's wearing a heel, but she could be. They're the, it's just such a wide leg. And then her messenger bag, she just looks like she's so heavy. Like she's weighed down by so much fabric. Not a vibe. She should be happy it's not raining though, because that would add so much more weight to this outfit. But yeah, that was it.
I have a Heather Sinclair hypothesis. We'll share the photo. She's talking to Scooter Girl in the hallway after Emma is like humiliated in class. And here.
Got it.
She's carrying like a, it's pink, but it's see-through bag, which feels very like copying of Paige.
Yeah.
And I think she might be Heather Sinclair.
I can dig it.
And then we have a hun, which we haven't had in a hot minute. But we do have one. Paige says to Oleander, the park, great romance idea, hun, because baby Jack is crying. And then we do also have not one, but two black holes.
Love it.
And it is the two young men that disrespected Snake's daughter this week. Yeet. And he said, nope.
Yeet.
So goodbye, both Chester. Of y'all. Goodbye, Chris Sharp. You were both completely forgettable.
So could do without you guys. And now I will be able to do without you guys.
So long. Farewell to you, my friends.
Avita Sane. Adieu. To you and you.
To you and you and you. Do 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 do.
If you are casting for a rogue production of The Sound of Music, hit us up. We're gonna, we might be down. I'm definitely down. I'm 10 toes down. Oh, it won't speak.
So we did our hun, we did our black hole, we did our Heather Sinclair, which means
it's time to fire some shots in the bad part of town.
Pew, 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 pew. Shots fired.
So I think my first shots fired might come very close to the top.
Yeah, mine's in the first scene.
Okay. Mine is that my eyes were even open in media immersion is a testament to you, so stop worrying.
Okay. My first one is Marco's not scary. Marco's afraid of bees. And my second one comes immediately after. And is Heather Sinclair not scary, unless maybe you see her in her granny panties after gym.
Yeah, that joke. I have Oleander saying, poor kid is being blinded by the glare of his dad's legs. Can you say whiter than white?
Yep. And then for me, it jumps to media immersion class, and it's Emma's talking about the ad, and Matt's like, Mr. Oleander's like, you know, where is she going? And Emma goes, I don't know. And Chris Sharp says, probably to the ravine.
Bitch.
And you can hit the next part of that.
Yeah. And he's like, well, what about negative effects or whatever? Or he's like, what is it not showing us? And she's like, anything negative. He's like, whatever, lung cancer or whatever. And he's like, gonorrhea. And of course he gets dapped up for that. He sucks.
Yeah, he really does. My next one is when after Hazel's like, is Manny your new BFF? And Paige goes, okay, can we deal with whatever your problem is later, green-eyed Hazel monster?
Yes. Mine comes very soon after that with the iconic, gee, Mr. Oleander, I thought you only had eyes for Paige.
Yep. My next one. Oh, I guess this is then where things start. Do you want to be Manny or Paige?
Oh, I have one before that.
Okay, go ahead.
I have Emma saying, I'm trying to kill Chris with my mind.
That's a good one.
I feel like I have more of the pages, so.
Oh, I have, like, I just wrote down the whole one. The whole thing, okay, starting with practice went awesome.
Okay, damn. I have the one before that. She's like, thank you. Oh, thank you, Manny, for taking my practice this morning. She's like, you want me to thank you for what? Dropping a dirty bomb on my life?
Yeah. And then it leads into, yeah, you want to take Manny then?
Yeah. Practice went awesome without you. And if you ask some of us, that wasn't a coincidence.
Don't use your outdated slang on me, okay? I doubt that your mouth is even connected to your tiny, shriveled, boy-obsessed brain.
And what does she say?
She says, okay, this is just not going to work this way. That's fine. She goes, I'm the dumb one who still hasn't figured out not to chase older guys. Guys so out of her league, it's not funny. And I have a problem with this because the only other time that Paige chased an older guy, it was Dean. This
was during her assault. Yeah, it was her assault.
And Manny probably doesn't know that.
Does she know that? No, that was someone else. No, it was
Ashley knows and Hazel knows. Ashley.
Yes.
I mean, I guess she did go to trial.
But she would, unless she's following Canadian sexual assault trials. Yeah. I doubt she knows. She says big words for a girl who picks up my leftovers.
And then Manny hits her with, could you be more self-obsessed? All you think about is your own butt, which probably does require a lot of thought, given that it's huge. And then she kicks it.
The tables have tabled. We were in such a big, like, we were such an, like, anti-ass era, and then we went into an ass bootylicious era, and I honestly think we're going out of an ass era again. Like, it's, we're not quite, but we're going, it's gonna be, like, it's gonna be Kate Moss thin is in again soon.
Oh,
trust me.
No.
And not in a way that I want. That's just, like, unfortunately
no,
trend.
Nobody wants, I mean,
fuck that time in history. But, given that it's huge, kicks her in it.
What's your next one?
I have the iconic Manny saying, hey, Mr. Pedophile, I mean Oleander, don't make your girlfriend Paige more jealous of me.
My next one is when Hazel shows up and she's like, hi, I'm Hazel. And Paige goes, wow, she's not just an evil backstabber. She's kind of witty, too.
Yeah. I have Manny saying Paige basically fought me because she's a psycho wench.
Mm-hmm. I have Paige saying to Mr. Oleander, gee, why didn't I put a microphone in my bra? That's such a novice stalker mistake.
And I believe I got this wording right. Paige saying to Dylan, I'm working, okay, Hulk?
I have, Alex says, you know, fake cheese is one ingredient away from being plastic. And Paige says, oh, just like Manny Santos.
That is an excellent one. I don't know why I fell off in the last half of the episode. I just have one more, and it's a personal gripe. Okay. It's just that the writers for thinking that they ate with this A-plot, because you truly didn't.
I have one more, and I can't remember which girl said it, but so your names are Chester, Chuck, and Chad? Which, unless Emma, it was it. Right, and it only was meant as a shot fired if it was Emma.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's a shot fired regardless.
Because, like, what the fuck did your parents do? Why did they do that to you?
Beavis.
Yes.
Who shines for you this week?
Snake.
Yeah. I can maybe give it to Manny just because that ass kick is so iconic.
It is rather lovely, isn't it?
And it's not like she and Paige are friends. She doesn't owe Paige looking out for her.
No, but she did look right. I mean, she has been looking out for her, so who wouldn't want a little bit of gratitude?
I meant in the sense of, like, she doesn't owe it to Paige to be like, stop dating a predator the way that, like, her friends be being correct. Like, stop
dating a predator. She's not a piece of shit as much as her friends are for, like,
for not being, like, But also, I can't put her there because Manny Santos should still know better.
Oh, she totally should still know better. I don't think that she just didn't bum me out as much as
No, but I wouldn't put her as a shining star.
She didn't shine. She didn't shine.
Okay,
she
we're giving it to Snake.
Mm-hmm.
And exactly Snake.
Just exactly Snake.
Just exactly
I'll
Snake.
I'll throw in Spike for
tending to Manny's wounds. Making mocktails.
Making mocktails. I'm not a regular mom. I'm a cool mom.
Is there alcohol in this? Oh no, honey. God, why? Do you want some?
Mom, can you please go fix your hair? How do you think she says please? Can you go fix your hair? Yeah.
Please.
Please. Oh my gosh, guys.
So who bums you out this week?
Everybody. Oleander. Paige.
Hatzilakos.
Chester.
Chester.
Darcy
Shante. Emma.
Chris.
I know she's a plot device, but special shout out to Oleander's advisor.
Fuck that bitch. That lady. Fuck you. Yeah, no, very much so. Yeah.
Everybody's a bummer.
I miss Radish. Radishes.
He would have seen through that bullshit.
He would have shut that shit down. Yeah, he would have shut that shit down.
Where's Quan?
Would have been no nuance. Yeah. Making up flyers for the next Ashtanga class that nobody's coming to.
Right.
Everybody's dropped
attendance
out.
So has dropped drastically.
She's like, well, maybe I need to advertise.
What's that thing Perino sent to Emma? Like, here's a graph of your class participation. He's like, goes up to Quan. He's like, here's the graph of your yoga participation since you took
Literally. No, seriously. But does it go there?
Yeah, it goes there.
We've got mentions of gonorrhea.
We've got a student-teacher relationship. We've got grown women in positions of power not being girls' girls.
Seriously, Hatzilakos is not a girl's girl.
Hatzilakos is a horrible person. I hate her.
Bitch. Party in the front.
I don't fuck with you.
Their business in the front, party in the back. But both of those suck.
I hate Hatzilakos.
Very much. And then your spawn of Satan that you
truly
is coming in to wreak havoc on all of us in a couple of episodes. You did that.
You did that.
Brought Peter into this story.
Ugh. Hate Hatzilakos. She said, Peter. Fuck them kids.
Peter. Yeah, we really do need to get her on the thing. But
no, we do, like, yeah, no, this goes there. This absolutely goes there. I hate pretty much everybody, even Paige, even though she's a victim. All of her friends.
All of them.
Who, I mean, I can't fault them for not being adults in this situation because they're not adults. And I still want them to do better.
I would like them to do better, too.
I would like them to do better. Everybody do better. I guess that's it.
Yeah. Burger-durger-durger. I'm starting to do weird dances. Let's go ahead in this.
Okay, so you got to do that.
Yeah. Thanks for listening to Your Mom's Podcast. Join us next week to discuss Moonlight Desires, wherein Dylan is a cheating cheater and Jay and Spinner vandalize Degrassi. This episode of Your Mom's Podcast was made possible in part by the Hasoda Brothers, Spike's Home Spa Experience, and support from listeners like you.
Beautiful.
We'd like to take a moment to thank our Patreon subscribers. Tay.
Evie Pacini.
Miranda Bickers.
And Octavia Faith.
And a special thanks to our Titty Snake producers.
Alika Fenderson.
Corey Newton.
Tawny Marie.
And Brandy Tucker.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Ew, I hate how I said thank you. Thank you.
If you'd like to further support our show, you can find us on TikTok and Facebook as Your Mom's Podcast. We also have a Facebook group of the same name. And you can find us on Instagram at YMPadcast. Your Mom's Podcast is available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscriptions and reviews are another great free way to support us. However, if you're interested in supporting us in not free ways, we have a lot of great bonus content on our Patreon, and some great merch at our shop, which can be found at your-moms-podcast-shop.forthwall.com. And remember, that's Padcast. PAHDCAST. Thank you.